CHAPTER ONE, PART ONE OF THE LIFE STORY OF A RUSSIAN EXILE. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. Recording by expatriate in Bangor, Maine. The Life Story of a Russian Exile by Marie Sukloff. Translated by Gregory Yaros. Chapter 1, Part 1. The little village of Borovoy Mlin, in which I was born, consisted of about 30 huts, low wooden structures with slant-thatched roofs. The walls, both inside and out, were plastered with mud and whitewashed. All the huts stood in a row which formed the only street in the village. A wide, dusty road passed in front, the meeting-place of the cackling, quacking, and barking members of the community. Farther down, the communal pasture, a long and narrow strip of land, ran along the high bank of the rivulet Okena below. In the rear were small kitchen gardens, surrounded by low wattle fences, back of which rye fields stretched as far as the eye could see. Our hut stood at the very entrance to the village. It was old and rickety. The two little windows were low, near the ground. In the severe winter months, the snow piled up high in front of them, shutting out the feeble light that penetrated the double windows. During the greater part of the year, the broken panes were replaced with cardboard, as a protection against the clouds of dust which drifted into the house every time a vehicle passed. The thatch on the roof was black with age. It was broken in several places. When the rains were heavy, the water leaked through and formed a puddle on the mud floor. As in all peasant dwellings, a dark passage divided it into two parts. One was the living room, the other served as a barn, where the horses, cows, agricultural implements, and provisions were kept. The living room was large and square. One corner was screened off by a long red curtain. It was the parents' bedroom. Two beds and a cradle stood there. The furniture of the rest of the room consisted of a large table and benches along the walls. Another table, much smaller in size, held a large brass samovar and a pair of silver candlesticks, the only articles of value in our home. An enormous brick stove occupied a conspicuous place in the room. Besides doing its regular service, it provided a warm bed in the cold winter nights. The children often fought for the privilege of sleeping on it. In this room I first saw the light of day in September 1885. In this house I passed the first 14 years of my life. 16 desyatins, a little over 43 acres of poor soil, mostly clay, and a thatch-covered hut. This was all the property left by my grandfather to his 5 sons and 2 daughters. Note. My grandfather settled in Borovoy Mlin in the province of Vilna in 1851. The government granted certain privileges to Jewish agricultural colonists, exemption from military service for a period of 25 years being one of them. Military service in Russia at that time lasted 25 years, and the life of a soldier was terribly hard. Few ever returned to their native places. To save his sons from military duty, my grandfather decided to become a peasant. End note. I do not know how the heirs to this rich inheritance settled it among themselves, but in the end my father and one of my uncles remained the sole proprietors of the 16 desyatins, they being the eldest sons and already married. At the later division of the property, 8 desyatins and the house went to my father. Our estate, besides the land, consisted most of the time of a couple of cows, 1 or 2 horses, and 12 or more chickens. When the crops were good, the 8 desyatins yielded grain and potatoes enough to last the whole year round. But either because of my father's primitive methods of agriculture, or because of insufficient fertilizing, or because of droughts which are not infrequent in our parts, good crops were rather the exception than the rule. I remember a prayer which I learned when I was 4 years old. O God, give us rain for the sake of the little children. Every morning before eating our modest breakfast, we folded our hands and repeated this prayer. But God seemed cruel at times. Severe droughts burned our fields, and famine...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?